Jalen Lucas. They really shut Jalen Lucas down. And then in the second half, field position was a major factor where Terrebonne got pretty good field position towards the end of the third quarter. That allowed them to score their first touchdown. They got the ball right back, got a field goal, so they were up 10-0. And at that point, everybody in the stands was like, this game is over. Then I don't know what happened. Thibodeau sort of got a second win offensively, went right down the field. Now we're 10-7, and that big stop that you were talking about by Mason Smith was basically a situation where Thibodeau had the ball with about a minute and 10 seconds left to go, and he comes up with a huge play on fourth down. Nonetheless, again, very, very much a defense-dominated game, and after what we've been seeing in the state of Louisiana on all levels in football, it was certainly nice to see somebody play defense.
No doubt about that. Coach, one of the teams that we've seen here calling games is Central Lafourche, and man, they took another one on the chin last night, falling to Ellender 45-13. Looks like very much potentially a rebuilding year for Coach Meyer and the Trojans in year one.
Well, you look at Central, they have, what, 20 so kids or something that's still in quarantine. I think it has an effect, on the outcome of that game. But, look, give credit to Ellender. I mean, they got some skilled players, and they're doing a heck of a job. And getting real quick, the Terrebonne game, the job that Coach Hill and his staff is doing is tremendous because
sure.
They lost some skilled kids from last year. And, you know, you had Mason Smith coming back. But, look, they went toe-to-toe with Hornville and beat a good Thibodeau team last night. So Coach Hill and his staff is doing a bang-up job over there at Terrebonne.
A very physical game last night. E.D. White in South Terrebonne. It's E.D. White who scores the 34-13 win. Stan, Coach Lesang's got something cooking out there. They lost the game to St. Charles Catholic. No shame in that. But in between that, they've beaten a good South Terrebonne team, beaten a good Assumption team, and have not allowed very many points to anybody that they've played. It looks like Coach Lesang's got a mean and vicious defense out there, doesn't he?
That's bottom line, man. And I've said it multiple times on this show, and anybody who will listen, defense wins games, and E.D. White's got a terrific defense. It has allowed their offense to sort of catch up, too. You have a young man in Kalen Griggs who's really starting to come around as a quarterback for that team, a Branton Vicknair running back who is a tough kid. So defense sort of set the tone for them, but as the game wore on last night, they really, really started to put that methodical running game to work, and in the second half they sort of ran away from South Terrebonne in that one. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about Christian Arsenault. They sort of negated what he could do, especially in the second half of that game. E.D. White's going to be a player there in that district in 3A football. I know St. James is awfully good, but it's going to be interesting to see how that all turns out. And remember, E.D. White and Vanderbilt Catholic are already in the playoffs because they play in Division II and everybody makes that bracket. So sometimes your incentive is a little low. I think, and I am glad, because sometimes we put district on the back burner and say districts don't mean what they used to. This is something that Coach Lesang could sort of hold over his kids that, you know, let's go out and win a district title. So, again, yeah, I think E.D. White is sort of one of our semi-surprises in our area. Maybe not a surprise that they're winning, but the way they're winning and how strong they look.
St. James is still awfully good. They beat Assumption 44-0 last night. They've got athletes all over the field. Second time this season, Assumption struggles to put the ball in the end zone. Coach, you've been in situations where it's your first year teaching new personnel, this, that, and the other. What are some of the challenges that Coach Menard and those guys are dealing with right now trying to piece these things together?
Well, you know, possibly with the COVID things that we got to go through, that could affect his the way he wanted to install his offense, because that's probably one of the biggest surprises so far for me of this football season is that Assumption was shut out twice this year.
Yeah, in three games.
With Coach Menard with his offense, that's surprising to me. But, you know, I think possibly the lack of time they had in the summer to install a new offense to these kids, that could have affected Assumption. But that's really surprising with two shutouts.
We've talked to Stan throughout the offseason about Vanderbilt, and you know, you've been very high on those guys, saying they've got a strong team. We've got Lance Ledé on later in the show to talk about their 35-3 win over Welsh. But, Stan, it looks like another situation where if you don't give up very many points, you're never going to be out of the game. They had a lot coming back on defense, and so far they're living up to the billing. They hold a Welsh team to 3 points last night and scored a decisive victory.
That defense is always in the right place at the right time, and that's all you can do as a coach, and that's what they're doing with those kids. They do have a linebacking core and defensive line that is strong. And obviously that's where it all starts. We talk about how it does up front all of the time. And those guys get after it. Of course, Brad Villavasso coaches that defensive line. And he's got a son that is really terrific there. Got another son who's a linebacker who plays really well too. So I think if you're going to beat Vanderbilt, you're going to out-athlete them. I'm not so sure that it's going to be a situation where you're going to fool them defensively, because they're going to be in the right place. And then they're starting to develop this two-headed monster at running back. They have a kid, a Roundtree kid and a Godet kid. Kind of sounds like a law firm, but so you know, Roundtree and Godet. But those two kids run extremely hard. Listen, they lost to Dutchtown, and we talked about this last week. They lost to Dutchtown, and it was basically contributed to two pick sixes. Dutchtown went out and smashed somebody who was pretty good last night, so that's a good football team. Now, defeating Welsh last night, as Vanderbilt did, probably is not quite as impressive. I'm sure Welsh is going through a lot of things, and if I'm not mistaken, they are a 3A school. So I don't know what to read from that game specifically. But it's just weird. We're heading to district play in that district next week, and I'm not sure we know everything we need to know about teams at this point. You know, as Brian was answering that last question, I started thinking to myself, can you imagine these coaches, you know, B.J. Young, even Lance Lede, Archie Adams over at South Terrebonne, 25 years from now, after I hope what is an illustrious coaching career, they're going to look back and say, yeah, you know, my first year or my second year, we really didn't play game one until game three. And then specifically in the case of Coach Young, he played, and I've never heard of this before, he played a Friday night game to start his career, then he played a Sunday night game in his second game, and now he's playing a Saturday game in his third game. Just unique times, and you have to overcome adversity. And that's another thing that Vanderbilt's doing well. They overcome all of the adversity that's around them with this COVID. It's like it doesn't even exist, and they sort of just move on.
Well, one thing with Coach Young, since March, he may have had two or three full weeks of school where we came 5 days. You know, the virus hit us in March, and we're out of school. And when we started back school, we had, you know, storms or different things where we really didn't have 5 days of school. And look, this past week we in fall break, so we know, again, no 5 days of school.
Let's talk a little bit about this matchup here that you know we're going to be seeing today. Stan, it's a situation where Tarpons are going to be playing a Belchase team that they know nothing about. Belchase hasn't played a game yet this season. It's the great unknown. They got a film, I believe, of a scrimmage or something like that. We'll ask Coach Young about this in 5 minutes when we have him on. But, man, you've played two ball games, and you kind of sort of know what you've got. You're facing an opponent that you really don't know very much about. This is going to be one that I guess we'll just kind of figure it out on the fly and see may the chips fall where they may, so to speak.
Belchase is one of those cycle teams. You know, when you look at high school football year in and year out, Belchase is never bad. But when they get in a cycle of having a good grouping of kids together, they're a good football team. And when I say good, they're a 3-deep, 4-deep team. When they had the Mathurin kid there in the late 2000s, they were really good. Obviously, they won a state championship. And then there are years that cycle is not there. We have no idea what the cycle is this year. We don't know. Now, you guys have seen them last year when y'all played them. But from a standpoint of knowing what you're going to get, you don't. So I would imagine that Coach Young said, listen, we can't worry about them. We have to worry about us. Let's get ready this week, which is when you're going into your third game of the year and you're not really scheming for a team, that's weird. And that's just the time we live in. But I'd imagine this week he's been worrying about the Tarpons and not so much about the Cardinals.
And Coach, Tarpons are going to be back to near full strength and getting some guys back, and also, frankly, building some depth last week. A lot of those younger players stepped up and really did pretty well. Feels like a situation where, you know, you'd be back to the week one form now. It should be.
Yeah, these guys that stepped in last week, they did a super job stepping in. I think some of them warranted some playing time on Friday night. They can, you know, come in as backups or a series of two here or there, and that's just going to help the Tarpons. But I agree with Stan 100%. I think Coach Young and his staff is going to be more worried about how they perform and, you know, not so much what Belchase is going to do. Let's worry about us today, because you know, it could affect them a little bit that you only have one game on film. And how are these kids going to respond from us with our seven kids coming back from that 14-day quarantine? You know, will they be in shape, fresh legs, or, you know, we'll see how it goes this afternoon.
Well, other perspective is, how is Belichick going to respond to playing a 48-minute game after being on the sofa for 2 weeks? You know, they've practiced for a couple of days, but, Stan, you know as well as I do, you can't replicate that Friday night or Saturday afternoon physicality of a live contest just practicing against, you know, your guys. They've been out for 14 whole days. They've had three or four practices at the most. It's going to be tough for them to string together a full 48 here.
I can't imagine that Bell Chase is going to look sharp today. I mean, you know, and I hate to say that about high school kids, but I can't imagine that they're going to come out and just be hitting on all cylinders. The one advantage, if you want to talk both ends of the spectrum, the one advantage is they've seen South Lafourche for a couple of weeks, so they could actually prepare for what they're going to see today. The other side of that is I'm sure they're sitting there thinking, we got to take care of ourselves today, and we have to find out about ourselves today. The other thing is, you know, I know last week it was a hot Sunday afternoon when the Tarpons took on Lutcher. Not that same thing today. Today is good, crisp day. So I think it's going to be a nice day. Last night at the Terrebonne-Thibodeau game, when those officials stopped the clock at 6 minutes in each quarter, everybody looked at each other like, what are we doing? You know, because it was such a beautiful day. As a matter of fact, one of the teams called a timeout with about 6 minutes and 25 seconds left to go in one of the quarters. So they stopped the clock. And then when they got down to 6 minutes, they stopped it again. So I don't think you're going to have to worry about those things. So if Bell Chase does have one advantage from the area of conditioning, it's kind of a nice day today to play high school football. And it may help them just a little bit there.
And, Coach, very quickly before our first commercial break, you guys could probably hear it. It's windy as heck here. We had to physically close the windows of the press box. That's all you would have heard is the wind. That wind could play some tricks on a deep ball down the field, on a punt, on a kick, anything. It's a very blustery day here in Galliano.
No doubt about it. Now, I think special teams will come into play. If we can get the ball up high in these punts, you know, that wind can play tricks on those receivers. And Stan Casey just said he had to physically close the window, so I think we need to get him some water up here.
Yeah, with that having been said.
Brian, that had nothing to do with the wind.
No.
With that having been said, let's catch a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to go to B.J. Young, South Lafourche High School football coach. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. We'll be right back with Coach Young after this break.
I'm going to tell you about
In our current COVID-19 climate, it's time to think differently about employee health, and Terrebonne General Medical Center's workplace readiness team is here to help. With over 65 years of trusted leading-edge experience, we are here to provide the resources you need to keep your workforce healthy and prepared with COVID-19 testing, employee health risk screenings, cleaning protocols, a nurse hotline, and much more. A healthy workforce is a productive workforce. Schedule your workplace readiness assessment by calling 850-6214 or visit tgmc.com.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
This is Christine Russell, Lafourche Parish District Attorney, asking for your vote in the upcoming election. I've been a prosecutor for nearly 18 years. In that time, I've worked alongside law enforcement to convict some of Lafourche's most dangerous offenders. But being tough on crime is only part of the equation. I have worked hard to develop and implement programs geared toward the prevention of crime, making our community safer for all of us.
Early voting begins October 16th and Election Day is November 3rd. Paid for by the Christine Russell Campaign Fund.
Thursdays, come have lunch with the Sports Hangover as we are live at Vinny's in Metairie, 3217 Ridgelake Drive, literally the corner of 18th and Ridgelake. Enjoy outside and once again inside dining when you order from the full menu. Delicious burgers, fresh wraps, meatball sliders, wings, and daily specials can be enjoyed while sipping your favorite beverages. Happy hour 3 to 7 every day, that includes weekends, where you can enjoy special prices on specialty cocktails and appetizers. It's the Sports Hangover, Thursdays at Vinny's, 12 to 3. in Metairie on ESPN New Orleans.
And welcome back to the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Casey, Stan, and Coach Brian here on this wonderful Saturday morning. We go to the phone lines now. We have South Lafourche football coach B.J. Young on the line. Coach Young, good morning, man. How are you? Coach, do we have you? Oh, we're going to continue the conversation. We're going to make an effort to get Coach B.J. Young in just a second. Coach, we were talking just a minute ago about this matchup here where South Lafourche is going to perhaps, you know, while getting their guys back, trying to, you know, regain that timing and that form because they, too, have several key players who have not been playing football for 14 days. That's not going to just happen on the fly. They're going to have to, you know, physically put some things together.
It takes time. That's why you practice. And we're talking about it a little bit just off air where last week we had some communication miscues with the receivers and the quarterback, and it could be the same today with, you know, these guys missing 14 days and coming back in the mix. So, you know, hopefully we can, you know, get that corrected early, and I think run game is going to be crucial for the Tar Heels today.
No doubt about that. And one of the things that South Lafourche is going to have to try to do better is limit the big plays they give up defensively. The first two snaps of the second half for Lutcher last week went for touchdowns, and that's been one of the only blemishes on a defense that's played very well this season.
Well, some good news possible for Tarpon fans is Bell Chase pretty much runs the same offense that we ran last year. So that could be good news for the Tarpon fans, where if we can come up and stop that dive on first down and, you know, force Bell Chase to maybe pitch the ball into turnovers, that can be to our advantage.
So we're going to get Coach Young in just a second. Stan, what stood out to you so far, you know, this week in the high school football season, week three? I know one thing that a lot of folks are, you know, kind of chapping about is East St. John beats Hanville badly last night. They kind of flexed their muscles in the 5A district. What are some things that stood out to you from week three so far?
You might have been reading my mind because I was going to lead off with that. Yeah, East St. John defeating Hanville. I think Hanville is probably not as strong defensively as they have been in the past. Nonetheless, East St. John, you know, Destrehan, obviously, in 7-5A football is going to be the team to beat again this year. We talked about E.D. White, how strong they have looked. So, obviously, that's going to be huge. You know, Assumption not scoring points in two of their games this year is a little bit surprising, but they've played really tough competition. Only thing that scares me about Assumption is if you saw what Denham Springs did on Thursday night, they got blasted by Westgate by like 50. So that's a little interesting. So anyway, you know, besides those things, I think it's sort of been the norm. I can't believe I'm saying normal at this time, but it's sort of been the norm.
So second try, Coach B.J. Young on the line. Coach Young, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How y'all got?
Good, man. We're about 2 hours and 40 minutes away from kickoff in week three, playing at home against Bell Chase. What are some of the things you're looking to see from your bunch here this afternoon?
Yeah, man, it's just starting. You know, it's game day. We actually have pregame meal right now. Man, I'm just looking for the guys to go out and have a lot of fun. You know, same thing I tell them every time we step on the field. You know, you're blessed, one, to get to play the game, you know, and on top of that, a lot of people don't get to play, you know, high school football for whatever reason, you know, and there's people that probably want to, they just don't have the opportunity. So just to go out and have a lot of fun and just enjoy it. You know, if you ever ask people who's played, you know, what they would give to go back and just play another down, a lot of them would give out almost anything, you know. So I just wanted to go out there and enjoy it and have a lot of fun and put a lot of energy.
Listen, there are probably in the history of high school football in Louisiana, there's nobody who has started off their coaching career playing on a Friday night and on a Sunday afternoon and now on a Saturday afternoon like you have. To some degree, I guess all of us humans are creatures of habit, excuse me. Do you have to, like, put on your psychological cap with the kids and make sure that, you know, they understand this time we go through? Or are the kids pretty resilient? You know, they're just happy to play and y'all are getting ready to go and you don't have to, I guess, change things too much for them to understand they got to be ready on these different days of the week?
Yeah, you know, I actually told the coach the other day, I miss Friday night. You know, we played a JV game. We turned the lights on at 7 o'clock. It was dark. You know, I was like, man, I miss that. You know, I miss playing under the lights. But, you know, we just so excited to get to play. And, you know, I told the kids the other day, you know, it could be taken from you in the blink of an eye already, and especially in today's world with the coronavirus, you know. So just being excited to play and the opportunity to get out there and play football. From a coaching standpoint, you know, we're trying to keep it as normal as possible that we can. You know, we bring them in, brought them in this morning and last Sunday at 7:30. You know, that's close to when the bell rings to let in the school. So keeping them, you know, getting up early into that same routine as they would on a Friday. And then we time out the pregame meal to eat, you know, the same hour distance that we would, you know, on a Friday. And we're doing our walkthroughs after and stuff like that. So we're trying to keep it as normal as possible for them. But like you said earlier, man, we got some resilient kids, some tough kids. And, you know, they kind of high. You know, they just so excited to get out there and play. And it to them, it doesn't matter. You know, we play at 9 in the morning on Sunday, or we play on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And, you know, we're lucky to have kids like that in our program.
The quarantine period is over for your guys who were out last week. How do you kind of ease them back in? Because, you know, on one hand, yeah, you know, they're all quality players. On the other hand, you haven't really seen them much. How do you ease them into the lineup today?
Yeah, you know, the first time I've seen them in 14 days was this morning. You know, we went out there and got them out there, did a walkthrough, you know, a good one, you know, refresh them on everything we're doing, and did a little pat and go, let them catch some balls. You know, we're going to let them go, you know, that they back. We're going to let them play, you know, and the good news about it is we got guys that we saw last week who I feel comfortable can step in and give them spells. If those guys were to get a little bit winded or a little bit tired, we got some guys now that we know that can step in and pick up some of the slack. But, yeah, Casey, I mean, we're going to let them play. You know, they back. We don't know when it's going to happen again, so we're rolling. We're going to let them go.
I got an interesting question that, or at least I think it's interesting. So if one of your kids was quarantined for, say, the 14 days, and he had no signs or symptoms, and he was not positive, he was just being quarantined because of the contact, can you give them some type of workout schedule that they stay active during that time, or are you not allowed to talk to them at all?
We can contact them. We zoomed them a few times with some of the install stuff we had going in for this week. Coach Sanimo, our receiver coach, since they were all receivers, actually sent out some at-home workouts for them to do and some running for them to stay in shape and stuff like that. But, yeah, man, that's pretty much it. You know, you kind of hands off as far as that goes. And, it sucks in a sense because you felt like, again, when you was back in the summer and we got shut down for 2 weeks and we couldn't talk to them, and it just felt funny, you know, because you're so used to seeing those kids every day. And then everything's been going smoothly, and then all of a sudden, nope, they're at home. You got a Zoom meeting. It just felt like just felt weird, you know. But we made the most of it. Like I said, we got great kids in our program, so I feel comfortable and that they went home and they took care of business and tried to stay in shape and did the stuff that Coach Sanimo sent them. So yeah, man, that's kind of how it goes.
Preparing for the invisible opponent almost, in that you're facing a team that hasn't played a game yet. I know you guys got a little bit of tape on them, but what are some of the things you're seeing in Bell Chase, and how do you kind of prepare for a group that hasn't taken the field in a varsity contest yet?
Yeah, we got their film on their scrimmage that they had with Pearl River. Man, look, overall, that's a good football team, you know, and their coaches do a great job. They look sound. They looked aggressive. Man, they were flying around. They got two big old linebackers in there. Quarterback's explosive. Got a really good running back. The receivers make plays. They look big up front on both sides. It's gonna be a test for us, man. They look really good from what we saw against Pearl River. And then the thing too, they're gonna be super excited because this is their first time taking the field, you know. So the energy level I anticipate them having, you know, we're gonna have to match it, you know, and be ready to go too. So yeah, man, it should be a good football game, you know. I got a buddy that I worked with at Woodlawn over there, you know, so some bragging rights is on the line. So, man, it's going to be fun just because it's another game and it's a chance to play football. And but on top of that, man, I think it's going to be a really good game for everybody coming because that's a good football club.
Brian and I were talking a little bit earlier here on air saying that maybe it was a case where you would be more worried about you this week in its entirety leading up to this game Has that been sort of the practices that, look, we got to take care of what we do and not so much scheming for Belichick?
I mean, we did some scheming. You know, we watched what we had. And, you know, where I'm at, whatever we get, we're going to have to do our best job as coaches to put our kids in a position to be successful. So we watched what we had, and we watched a lot of it. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've seen the same clip, but just trying to find little things here and there that can give us an advantage, and Coach Brusso and the defensive staff as well. You know, just trying to find little things, give them an advantage. But it's the same thing I tell our guys every week is it's always about us. You know, if we go out there and we don't turn over the football and we get off the field on third downs and we move the chains on third downs and then we get in the red zone, we get points, you know, we're going to win a lot of football games. You know, we just can't beat ourselves. And, and that's turnovers has been a thing this year, and that's something we've been focusing on hard this week. We can't turn the football over at all. You know, we beat Central Lafourche. We turned over, I think, 5 or 6 times, and we can't do that. You know, and look, man, that's every program. You know, you can't turn the football over. You know, I heard Frank Monica talk the other day about they played against East Ascension and they got the win, and he was upset because they turned the football over. You know, it's just you can't turn the football over, and we got you know, third downs and things like that. We got to get better at, and like I say, you know, we're working on it, and our guys take the coaching, and so hopefully we can see it in action today.
Physicality, I know, has been a big point of emphasis throughout the season for you guys. Facing a team that, quite frankly, hasn't been hit in the mouth in a live game yet, how important is it for you guys to establish the line of scrimmage early in the ball game?
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. You know, and then same thing goes for that. You know, you hear everybody say the games are won and lost in the trenches. You know, we challenge the O-line again. You know, we got to be able to run the football. We can't waste it down every time we hand it off to the back with no-yard gains and negative plays or fumbles. We have to be able to run the football effectively, and it opens up everything, man. When you can run the football, it opens up everything, and when you can stop the run. You know, if you can stop the run and run the football, you'll be in pretty good shape, and, man, that comes from being physical up front. And then with the RPOs that we do and the RPOs that teams do, you got to be physical on the perimeter too. You know, you got to be able to take on blocks and set the edge. You got to be able to attack them bubble screens and attack the number two receiver and get that block. So, man, right now, especially with all the RPO stuff and – big plays you're seeing from Fridays to Sundays, you know, you got to be able to tackle in the secondary and be physical. All 22 have to be physical.
You start district next week. Do you put an importance on this game as far as a W is to get into that district next week, or it's if you play well, no matter what happens, you'll be okay?
Yeah, I mean, look, man, I want to win bad. You know, I heard somebody say they hate to lose more than they like to win. And that's kind of where I am. I don't like to lose. And our kids don't like to lose. The difference that I saw in the locker room after the Central game and last week was two totally different attitudes. And I'm okay with that. It should hurt them when they lose, you know, and they should be excited when they win. But for us, man, no, we're not looking any further ahead than today. You know, we're taking care of Bell Chase today. And then when we come back and grade the film, We'll get started on Vanderbilt after that. But right now, it's one game at a time. So right now, our next one up is in a few hours.
Coach, well, look, thanks so much for the time, and good luck today, brother.
Absolutely, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir. That is B.J. Young with South Lafourche. We're going to have that game right here at 1 o'clock. Let's go ahead and catch a quick break. When we get back, Gary Hill of the victorious Terrebonne Tigers. They scored a defensive battle victory over Thibodeau. We'll be right back after this break. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 and 1600 AM KLEB and 102.7 the new KLEB.
Your everlasting summer, you can see it fading fast.
Greg's SUV clearance sale is going on now at Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners are all marked down to the lowest prices. Plus, Greg LeBlanc needs your trade-in today to restock our used inventory. Great service, great deals. That's the Greg LeBlanc way. Our goal is to save every buyer $2,000. $2,000. Go to our website and find your perfect ride. That's Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Hello. This is State Senator Gary Smith from District 19. I want to let you know that I am very concerned about the impact COVID-19 is having on each and every one of us. To stay cautious and practice social distancing, wash hands often, remember to not touch your face, and watch out for your older family members and neighbors. I have been working very hard along with our other elected officials and the governor, and we are taking this very seriously. Please listen for daily news. As everyone does their part, we will prevail. Thank you.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodaux Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodaux Regional.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning-fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. We go to the phone lines now. Terrebonne High School football coach Gary Hill on the line. His Tigers scored a 10-7 victory last night over Thibodaux. Coach Hill, good morning, man. How are you?
Glad to get a victory last night. We, you know, pushed through, but we're doing fine and getting ready for the next one.
It doesn't sound like, from you know, your response, that you're overly thrilled with the way your team played last night. Talk about some of the things you're going to try to clean up in the week ahead.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, we played a lot better on defense last night. Offensively, you know, their front gave us some trouble, but they got a pretty good front. We knew that going in. You know, I guess if I could have picked something that we should have done better is we probably need to block better in the box against teams like that, and we got to get better at that point. And that was the first real test we had against the front that had five or six people in the box that could really make some plays and not depend on a couple of guys to make things happen. So we just got to get a little more unity out of our offensive front, make sure we don't have a couple of those breakdowns.
See, I see it a little bit different, Gary, from the standpoint that I've seen y'all twice in these first three games. And last night, although it was just 10-7, I thought your defense played extremely well. That's one. But two, there were some other kids who are starting to really step up for you. You know, we've been talking Jalen Lucas. But last night, your kid at quarterback, Robinson, played well. Then you have Chavez Brown, who's starting to really come around. Then you have Donovan Harris, who ran the ball well. And I am going to point out a kid on defense, and unfortunately, I don't know exactly his name, but I can give you his number, and I hope I'm not putting you on the spot. But we know that Mason Smith's really good, and I know he had a big sack late in that game. But your number 96 last night.
94 would be Mason, 96. 96 is Caden Lewis. 96 is Caden Lewis. And he's got a great motor. He's a junior. You know, him and Mason have a great relationship. Mason's done a great job of trying to teach him how to do things the right way across the board, from the classroom to the weight room to conditioning. And, you know, he's done a great job of accepting that friendship and following that lead. But he's got his own special abilities. You know, that motor he's got is something that just kind of comes natural that you don't coach sometimes, and that's what he's got. He's got a lot of skill sets that go with it. So, and he's a pretty big kid, you know. He's not as tall or weighs as much as Mason, but, you know, he's a good 6'1", 6'1 and a half, and probably about 265. And he's got a motor, and he plays well for us.
Coach, 2-1, all three of your games are close, hard fought, came down to the final couple of possessions. Talk about some of the things you'd like to see your team kind of do a little bit better going forward in the next couple of weeks. But also, more important than that, because you're 2-1, what are some of the things you guys are doing pretty well that you're proud of as well?
Well, I mean, you know, this year's kind of weird, but, you know, that first game, I thought, you know, having to grind it out and, you know, we were giving up points, but we were scoring points and having to win it at the end on defense. And then last week, you know, we kept trying to score and we kept giving up some things with our defense and we were able to score. But we've been scoring quick. And, you know, that's kind of tough because when you get into a game like we had last night and you got to start grinding it out, it's a little bit frustrating because the success rate's not what it was and the kids have to learn to deal with that. And it becomes, well, why ain't we scoring in two or three plays sometimes when they get used to that type of mentality? But I thought we grew last night and having to start grinding stuff out 4 and 5 yards at a time. And there were a couple of moments in that game where if we don't grind it out, maybe it goes the other way. But we finally were able to get on a good drive and get one in the end zone. I mean, we ate up most of the third quarter with possession and scored at the beginning of the fourth. And then, you know, we made a play and we had a chance to, you know, put some more points on the board, but we ended up with a field goal. So, you know, we didn't grind that one out. But then at the end of the game with time on the clock on our end, we grinded all the way down and we didn't get the fourth down conversion. And, you know, we just wanted to see if they'd have to go 85 yards to score to win the game instead of trying to kick a field goal and giving a short field and only being up 6. So, you know, and then to win the game like we did and put the pressure on the quarterback and not give up that first down in that situation, I think we're growing through game experience and game situation and becoming a team that can maybe play through whatever we have to do, possibly whether it's a track meet or if we got to grind it out and win on defense. You know, we're finding ways to do the things we need to do to win in those type of situations.
You may have a luxury that a lot of high schools don't have, and that luxury is a kid named Wyatt Guidry. He comes in and he just pops a 43-yard field goal like it's nothing. So from the standpoint of playing 7-5A football where you know sometimes it's going to be close like it was last night, that's got to be a little fun to be able to know that you're probably going to have your extra points made and you have the opportunity to at least get 3 points if you get anywhere within the red zone.
Oh, Wyatt's an excellent kicker. You know, he's very talented. He's made a few 40-yarders in his career with us, and he's just a junior. And, you know, there's times he may not get the kick due to situations in the game. You know, just like last night, could have kicked one there at the end, but you're giving up a, you know, you got to do a kickoff return team, and you got to worry about a return, and you're shortening the field from where we were, so – you know, sometimes he doesn't get the opportunities that we know he can make as well. But, you know, he does an excellent job with kickoffs. He can place the ball, and he's got a pretty good foot. But as far as field goals go, he's been very accurate. He's got a strong leg. And, you know, I don't want to say anything to hex him, but we believe in him, and he's solid.
As the world turns in District 7-5A, now you got to take on Destrehan on the road. They look to be awfully good again. What are some of the things you're seeing on those guys on tape?
They got some really good football players up front on defense. They got some good D linemen. You know, we didn't get a roster yet, so names are not quite in our head. But, you know, they got a linebacker, number 14, that really runs well and has some size. And then they're quick in the secondary. So defensively, they seem to be pretty stout and ready to play ball. And on offense, there's a couple of receivers starting to, you know, kind of gel with their quarterback and learn what they're doing. And I think they got a quarterback that played last year, but he's still young. And then at running back, they got a kid, number 8, that's really playing well and seems to be running the football very effectively. And, you know, we've seen them play different styles of teams as well. And, you know, they lost the first one to St. Paul's, but they seem to figure it out, you know, being able to get a victory against St. James and then last night against Bourgeois. And we're just going to have to go over there and we're going to have to do what we've been doing, find ways to compete and then try and win games in that last fourth quarter. And if we can get control of it, that would be great as a coach. But, you know, if we can keep continuing to grow the way we're growing, it's what we got to accept and we've got to take it. So we're just trying to get better each week and find ways to compete and move the football and keep our defense off the field and then get them off and try and, you know, get points. We got to learn to finish a little bit better than we did last night, but it was a growing experience.
Scheme-wise, do they sort of look like a Coach Robich show team?
Oh, say that again?
Scheme-wise, with Coach Robich show going, do they look like a Destrehan team of the past, or does it look different?
There's a lot of things that look the same. I mean, defensively, they're still in an odd and an even front. But they play everything the same way Coach Rowe played both ways on those two fronts, and that looks a lot to be the same. But offensively, there seems to be a little bit more multiple in it with some two tight sets, and they still spread, but there's some two tight sets. Even saw a quarterback under center with an eye, and I don't ever recall seeing Coach Rowe under the center, you know, in the last 13 years. So, you know, there's a few little wrinkles on offense that appear to be different. And then on special teams, you know, some of them exactly look the same, and then some of them they have a few changes. But, you know, Coach Scott's been a good coach. I've known him for a long time since he was at West Jeff and, you know, even came back and was at Nichols and then Arich. So, you know, there's a little familiarity there, but I can see a couple of his wrinkles, and I definitely see a lot of Coach Rowe still there.
Coach, health-wise, are you guys still doing okay, or are you a little bit nicked up after 3 weeks, or give us a rundown of your team's health?
We're pretty decent there. We've lost a couple of guys that were some role players. One of them was starting to show that he was going to be able to play for us, and he's injured, but, you know, we got to play through that. That's part of attrition, and, you know, a lot of the guys we truly depend on are, they're still pretty healthy. You know, it's football, so there's a ding here or there, but, you know, we got to be able to get back to, you know, doing the things the right way and have some of those guys that have to do their role step up a little bit more. And a few guys that haven't had a role yet got to be ready for when the name has to be called.
And finally, just, you know, I know you're still game planning for Destrehan, but if you could pinpoint one thing y'all are going to have to do to get a win in that game, it would be what?
I think we're going to have to block better up front, get that continuity to control the clock, and keep our offense off on the field and try and get theirs to stay on that sideline and be off of it. And then if we look at it from a defensive standpoint, we're going to have to do a lot of the things we did last night, which was play our role, play our responsibility, and, you know, be good in coverage when we have to be. And if we could improve on anything last night, it's probably still tackling. It was a lot better, but there were some moments we gave up some yards after contact, and we need to eliminate those.
Coach, thank you so much for the time, man, and good luck next week, okay?
Thank you, sir. Y'all have a great one. We appreciate y'all.
You too. That is Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill. Terrebonne continues to roll, winning another very close hard-fought game. Let's catch a quick break. When we get back, we're going to go to Vanderbilt. Lance Lede will be on the line. His Terriers scored a 35-3 win over Welsh. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Wrapping up Hour 1 over at Vanderbilt Catholic in the next break.
She used to be.
Ramsey's has 50 showcases full of designer diamond jewelry.
If you don't think 50 is a lot, just count to 50 out loud. 1, 2,
and
three,
every one of
four,
those showcases
five,
is
six,
overflowing.
Seven, eight,
no one
nine,
gives you more
10,
choices.
11, 12,
no one gives
13,
you better prices.
14, 15, 16, 17.
Okay, big brother, I think that's enough.
50 showcases full of diamonds.
And designer engagement ring prototypes that haven't even been manufactured yet.
Designers like Gabriel.
Martin Flyer.
Yurlon.
Bolden West.
Noam Carver.
And others.
What do you mean, and others?
I mean, we also have other designers.
You left out my favorite.
I think we've listed enough designers.
You left out Lori Ramsey. She creates the most beautiful designs in the world.
Every little sister should have a big brother like mine.
Other stores make empty claims and empty promises.
Ramsey's makes fantastic deals on fabulous diamond engagement rings.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
Lauren here for Vision. We built a new house when our daughter arrived, and we made sure to include Home IQ in our plans. Being a mom is great, and I feel safe knowing that Vision has us covered with home security. The high-tech perks are great, too. Automated door locks, cameras, 24/7 surveillance, garage door control, thermostats, all accessible from my mobile phone. You don't need a new house to get the security you need for your family. Just call us. Watch and control your house with Home IQ, smarter security from Vision. Louisiana license F1256.
This is Brent Abbedy, and I need your vote for district attorney. The Morvant gang, King Cam and Queen Christine, took over the district attorney's office in 2003. For the past 17 years, they have bullied and persecuted all but the elites, their friends, and the privileged wealthy. I promise to push for term limits to stop the endless injustice and abuses of power. I promise to serve only one term. My only job will be to give everyone fair and equal justice. It is time for a change. Paid for by Brent for DA.
Need to see a doctor but don't want to leave the comforts of your home? Terrebonne General Medical Center telehealth is your answer. Our clinics provide same-day virtual appointments. Our highly trained physicians and nurse practitioners are committed to using leading-edge technology to better serve patients navigating the new normal. 70% of patients using virtual appointments for the first time comment on how easy it is to set up. All you need is a smartphone, tablet, or home computer. Visit tgmc.com/mychart to learn more.
Already at the bottom of hour number one, it's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. To the phone lines we go again. Vanderbilt football coach Lance Ledé on the line. Coach Ledé, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Coach, big win last night. You guys continue to improve and make some strides. Talk about the way your team played.
Well, we actually started off kind of slow a little bit. We came out in the first quarter. We turned the ball over on the first two drives. On offense, the first possession, Welsh got the ball on the plus 16-yard line. Defense did well, you know, got a three and out, but, you know, they made the field goal, so we're down 3-0 early. And second drive, we turned the ball over again, and I guess we had to get the bus ride out of us. And in the second quarter, you know, the offense picked up the slack and took control of the game.
You know, everybody talks about adversity. And I know you guys have to teach your kids. You have to overcome adversity. There's going to be a point in the game where you're going to face adversity, overcome it. You had to go out to Welsh. For people who don't realize what a journey that is, I mean, this was a deal where you don't just take school buses. You have to get you pretty much have to get the charter buses because it's such a long ride. You have other instances during the week that have come up. Just a lot of things. Do you guys as coaches ever sit in the coach's office and say, heck, we're trying to tell the kids to come over adversity, but we need to do it ourselves because this is a special year where it's not just about what's happening on Friday or Thursday or Wednesday or Saturday or Sunday night in football. It's also about just overcoming everything, and the team that does it the best is actually one up on the other team already.
Yes, man. You know, we talk about it all the time, but you know, I talk to the staff all the time about modeling, you know, doing the right things for our kids and being those role models for our kids. And, you know, if you ever show any kink in a armor or a panic, the kids are going to see that. I mean, kids nowadays, they can see right through anything. But, yeah, it's been different. But, look, coaching staff, what a great job they've done this year. And the kids have done a great job. And it was good to get on that bus because you never know. You know, we got to get down on that bus for a long ride. Next week we get to South Lafourche, and then, hey, we get lucky and get in the playoffs. You never know what happens. So I really enjoy doing that because it's a good experience preparing ourselves for down the road.
Coach, we're here down the bay in Galliano. We're going to be broadcasting the South Lafourche game. Might you be paying us a visit a little later on today, or are you going to be going to watch the Tarpons today?
I'm about ready to hit the road in a little while, grab some lunch, and head down that way.
Very good.
Listen, I was telling Casey in the opening how I am very impressed with your, I call it the law firm in your backfield because you have like Roundtree and Godet, you know, the 1-2 punch, and you have Archilla and LaPere. And I do believe that on the high school level, whereas on the collegiate and professional level, if you have two quarterbacks, maybe you don't have any. But in seeing your kids play, it's always a nice, maybe a little bit change of pace, but it's guys you can count on. And I understand the two guys running in the backfield had big nights last night as y'all pretty much control the line of scrimmage. You happy with the way things are happening on offense?
Well, look, not to take anything away from all those guys you named right there, but it all starts up front with the line. I mean, y'all know that. Y'all been around the game long enough. And I can't credit our offensive line enough. Look, those running backs are doing a great job. Don't get me wrong. And the quarterbacks also. We got to clean a few things up on offense. You know, turnovers hurt us a little bit. Give up 3 points to Welsh last night off a turnover. Give up 14 points touchdown off a turnover. Cost us the game. You know, we should be sitting at 3-0. But then again, you know, touchdown creates those turnovers. So, yeah, I'm pleased with the running game. There's no doubt. And but even more pleased with the offensive line the way they're playing.
Coach, this has been a year in football that the offenses are, you know, really excelling. And I don't know if that's because of – a lack of contact being allowed because of COVID or missed time or whatever it may be. But at all levels, we're seeing tons and tons of points. You guys are not allowing very many points. What is it defensively that y'all are doing well right now that's kind of giving y'all the edge on that side of the ball?
Now, your kids are playing really well on defense. I mean, look, give up 7 to Berwick. We only give up 10 on defense against Dutchtown and 3 last night, you know, off turnovers. So the kids are playing well. Look, it's just they're buying in, Casey. Man, they buying into what we're doing. They believe in what we're doing. Our kids work hard. I mean, we do everything in our power to set our kids up for success. They mentally prepare. They physically prepare. You know, I love my kids on both sides of the ball, all three phases, in junior high programs. And they just buy in, man. They really do. And it's, I just tip my hat to everybody in the program.
Are you healthy? Everything related to kids being available, you're going to be in pretty good shape health-wise?
Knock on wood, we're very healthy. Very, very healthy.
Because I know that wasn't the case last year all the time. It was always a struggle last year. And this year it just sounds like it's so much better from that standpoint. And obviously that's a big thing in high school football.
It is. But Stan, I had a full offseason with the kids this year, you know, doing some prehab and rehab work. And, you know, people don't realize injuries most of the time can be tracked back to the offseason. So we had a full offseason this year, even with COVID. You know, we didn't lose too much, to be honest with you. We were one of the first programs to get back. And, you know, our kids were sent workouts. They were doing the workouts. I know they were because I saw it in their bodies when they came back. We didn't lose any tone. We didn't lose any weight. We actually made gains. So that's a tribute to your injuries right there. Yeah, last year was tough. We didn't get our starting lineup back till week 7 last year. And minus one offensive lineman with an ACL. So it was a tough year last year injury-wise, but, you know, I contribute that to the offseason and Coach Babin in the weight room.
Coach, you know, the world in which we live, you could do everything right and still have some hiccups. You guys are down several players to a quarantine on your junior varsity levels because of a young man in another program testing positive. How many are you out? And I guess, you know, how do you make sure that those kids are, you know, staying involved while you know, being away and resting?
Well, look, we're out of – good bit, 24, 25 kids, and, you know, we're going to follow rules by the state, we're going to follow rules by the LSSA, and it was tough last night. You worry about it on the bus, you know, two things on the way up there was, okay, if you get a big lead or you're down by a big lead, only got 3 backups, what do? You know, Stan talks about injuries, that could have been a detrimental situation for us last And now I'm sitting here grading the Welsh film and doing the stats, and then your mind moves on the road to solid foods, your brain starts spinning. How are you going to practice next week without scouting? You know, so here we go again. You know, you just got to attack and adjust.
Are we in a situation because we don't pay as much mind to districts with PowerPoint rankings where you're starting district next week? Is that going to be as of some importance to you, that district title? Do you wipe the slate clean like we used to do whenever we would start district? Or is it a different day and age where you still hold on to what you did before district and some kind of way you just kind of incorporate this all together?
Look, Stan, it's one of those things. There's some districts that have some prestige in it, like the Catholic League, or when I was at Destrehan with Hornville and East St. John. And I haven't been around the Bayou area enough, but you know, in the old days, I'm an old guy, so you had 3 seasons. You had preseason, you had district, and you had playoffs. Now with the PowerPoint system, every game is just as important. Every game is just as important. So, yeah, of course, look, when you're building a program, you got to win some district championships first, and then you got to hang around in the quarterfinals and semifinals, and then you'll pop a dome appearance here and there. So as far as building a program, what we're trying to do here in the second year at Vanderbilt, absolutely it's important. You always want to be a champion at any level. So it starts with the district championship before you can move on into the playoffs.
Coach, we're 3 weeks in, which usually feels like, hey, we're still in the very beginning of the season. But right now in this special year, we're almost halfway done. Can you just kind of talk about how, you know, time sure flies whenever you're having fun in the middle of a football season. We're already almost at the midway point.
It is. And just in case you wake-up call, you're right. Look, wake up this morning, now we're playing for district. So it's upon us. you know, the first half of the season is over. Like, we talked about three phases of the season, and we're already in phase two, and we really just got started.
But wouldn't you agree, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth, I'm sort of sitting here happy that we're at least trying to move forward. I realize we're trying to overcome some obstacles, and maybe this is a better question for 2 or 3 weeks down the line, and I know we're still not sure if the championships are going to be in the dome or where they might be. But looking back at things, are you pleased that at least we're moving forward and that things are getting done?
Oh, look, man, definitely. One of the happiest days of my life when I called that team meeting and told the kids that we're going to play. Just, you know, our kids just never veered off the path. And, yeah, you know, I thank the good Lord every day that these kids are getting an opportunity to play. We're getting a better opportunity to compete because that's what life's about, whether it's in the classroom, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, on the field, whatever it is. It's about compete. And that's what we preach here. So, look, we're blessed to be where we are. Take it one day at a time and attack the next rep, attack that day the best we can, and we'll just play the hand the Lord deals us the next day.
Coach, thanks so much for the time, and good luck next week, and may even see you a little later on today.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
Yes, sir. That is Lance Ledesma. Stan and I will kind of chat a little bit about Vanderbilt and some of the things that they're doing well before our top of the hour break. Stan, you said throughout the offseason, hey, man, they're going to be pretty good so far. They're living up to it. 2-1 could easily be 3-0. They're playing very, very well.
Last night when I was at the Thibodeau and Terrebonne game, I had the fortune of being on the sidelines and with Coach Rod. And we, you know, we certainly all value what Coach Rod has to say. By the way, I was with Coach Rod, his son Don Paul, and Randy Boke, who is now athletic director but has nothing to do with football over at CCA. So it was really a good night of just talking football on the sideline while we were watching football. And Coach Rod said the one thing we all have to realize, and he's dead on with this, while Lafourche Parish and Terrebonne Parish took 3 weeks off and sort of hit bumps in the road during the summer and with conditioning, remember Vanderbilt Catholic kept on going. And E.D. White, and listen, they're being, you know, certainly they're successful right now too. Sure wish those two teams could have played each other this year, but those two teams had the opportunity to develop consistency, and maybe that does help when it comes to injuries, as Lance mentioned. Maybe it does help with continuity and just being consistent. So I think there's a lot to be said with that. The other thing is, and Coach Rod obviously goes to a lot of practices and what his full-time job is, when he would go to those Vanderbilt practices, he saw tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of fundamentals. And fundamentals sort of get lost in today's world, which is, in my opinion, why we don't play good defense overall, whether it be professional, collegiate, or high school ball. When you don't teach those fundamentals and you just go teams up, you get basically, you know, and Brian can attest to this, where kids just run up and down the court in basketball and there's no set offense or whatever. So, yeah, I think it's a situation where Vanderbilt's going to be strong the entire year because Lance is in his second year, and two, because they had consistency over the summer.
No doubt about it. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. In the second hour, we're going to talk some MLB, some NFL, and make our picks. This is the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. We'll be right back with hour two after this break.
Finally, it's here. The supermarket that Canal Street's been waiting for. Right between Canal and South Broad, the Big Easy Fresh Market is the locally owned, family-oriented market, complete with a cafe, a bakery, a deli, and some of the freshest produce and meats in town. Craving international food? No problem. The friendly staff will take care of your every need. Ready to start fresh? Make a note. The Big Easy Fresh Market, 2669 Canal Street. Like them on Facebook. Eat more fresh.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
You have a pest control problem?
Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bed bugs, mice and rats, or any other pest control needs you may have. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies. Call 985-475-3314. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies.
Hi, this is Trip Lee with AC Ambulance. It's been a hot summer and it's not over yet. I bet there are a lot of you's AC could not keep up with temperature humidity control. If you fit into this category or just need a checkup, repair, or a heat load calculation, call AC Ambulance. We've been in business since 1979. We proudly sell Daikin-backed by a 12-year parts and labor warranty and the best financing in the business. So don't take a chance. Call the ambulance. It's 467-1400 or check us out online at acambulance.com.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
One hour down, one hour to go. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. We're going to talk some MLB in this segment, but before we do, we were up against the top of the hour break in our last segment, but Coach Colley had something he wanted to talk about regarding Vanderbilt. What are some things you're seeing with the Terriers, Coach?
Well, you know, Stan and Casey, you see why Vanderbilt has a good defense. They're so well coached. Last Wednesday at a JV freshman game over here, Coach Bradsville of Oslo, former head coach with 20-plus years experience, was on the sideline, and I'm just coaching his tail off with the freshman level, the JV level. So you talk about consistent. It's consistent coaching that these guys are hearing, and I just wanted to make that point that that's why I think they have a great defense. They're so well coached and at all levels.
Coach B's a good guy, Stan. You know that as well as I do. He's a great man.
He's a good guy, and just to back up what Brian said, it's a half hour before ball game, whether it's JV, varsity, whatever it may be, there's nobody that works harder at coaching than Coach Villavasso. Once that game is in session. Now, he'll talk to you in the grocery store. He's a great guy. But, man, he works extremely hard. And, listen, his sons are good football players, too. They're going to be playing on the next level somewhere if they choose to. And let me tell you this, too, about that. So I was at a high school recently, which will remain nameless, but I was in the coach's office, and I kind of looked at their practice schedule for football because they were going out to practice later that day. And I noticed that they had, you know, special teams they started off with, and then they went into stretch, and then they went into some type of teams-up activity, and then they went into, like, a pass skeleton. And I thought to myself, there was a time where you had a fundamentals and technique period, and they were each about 15 minutes, where it was hand placement, and it was rip, swim, curl, and it was first step, and it was all of these things. And when I talked earlier about the things that are lost now, I'm scared that's kind of lost. That is not lost with Villavasso and Vanderbilt Catholic. They do those things, and I think that's what makes you what you are. And quite honestly, I would venture to still say that 6 out of 10 teams in our area still do that. You know, I know B.J. Young from and talking to Coach Rod last night. You guys have a guy there that is on the ball, you know. So I think good things are going to happen there also. So if you do those things, it pays off. Maybe not immediately, but as the season wears on, those kids, things become secondary to them, and they just understand how to do it. Now, those are the good football teams.
Very good. And shifting gears to the MLB, Stan, you're in a – interesting position right here, because you said last week that you were rooting for your Astros, but also rooting for the Rays, and now both teams have won 3 games, both with 3-game winning streaks to boot. Game 7 today. What are some of the things you're going to be hoping to see tonight in that matchup out in California? That's a big game.
Well, the truth is, I won't be able to watch it because every time one team does something, I'll be like, okay, but I really wanted that. And then that team is going to come back and I'll say, I really wanted that. I think the Rays, if I'm not mistaken, Martin's going to be on the mound, and I think they might be in a really good situation just from a guy who's kind of been there before. That's one I just want to – I want to be about it, but I want to stay away from it, if that makes any sense whatsoever. I will say this. So I'm getting ready to go do the Friday night program last night, and it's about 10 o'clock. Nah, it was probably about 9:15, 9:30. And while we were getting the scoreboards together, I'm keeping tracks on, you know, your Dodgers and your Braves. I had a text all written out, ready to hit send to you, congratulating you, telling you how great you must feel about the Braves. The kid was pitching so well. I think it's Minton who was out there early on for the Braves. And I'm thinking, Casey's going to be ecstatic on the show tomorrow because the Braves are going to just – they're going to wrap it up tonight. I go do the show. The show ends. I get in my vehicle to go home, and I immediately go to the radio and start listening, and I saw it didn't happen for the Braves. So I certainly hope in one of the next two games. Now, this one, there's no doubt in my mind. I want the Braves to win this one, so I hope they can pull out a win in one of these two remaining games.
One thing that people don't realize is that the Braves are without a lot of guys. They're without their ace, Mike Soroka, tore out his Achilles at the beginning of the season. They're without Cole Hamels. They're without Mike Foltynewicz. This is a team that was without four of their five guys on their opening day rotation. It's amazing what they're doing. They're doing it with offense. Usually in baseball, you've got to pitch beautifully. And at times, the Braves have had guys step up. Bryce Wilson pitched beautifully earlier in the series, and Freed and Ian Anderson are pitching very well, but they're just out slugging a team that is known for its slugging in the Dodgers. You've got Acuna and Freeman and Ozuna, and up and down that lineup, there are no easy outs. I just don't know, Stan, if they've got enough left in the tank. If you look at it, they've got Freed and Anderson, which are two very good starters, but their bullpen is depleted. You have a bullpen game last night. They used a lot of their top arms. I don't know if they have 18 innings worth of quality pitching to hold down the Dodgers. It's going to be awfully tough, man.
I think Freed has to beat them tonight for them to win it. I think it has to stop tonight. If it gets to tomorrow, that's a bad deal. Interestingly enough, 2 days ago, I was sitting here thinking to myself, so the Astros have sort of come back, but they're still a game down to the Rays at that point. But, man, I mean, the Dodgers were down three games to, obviously, one. And I'm thinking to myself, what are the odds that the Astros come back and win it all, or the Dodgers actually run off three in a row? And God, I hate to say it, but the Dodgers certainly are very capable. As a matter of fact, if Roberts probably doesn't leave Kershaw out there as long as he leaves Kershaw out there the other night, because for whatever reason, he's always out there a little bit too much. I don't know what happens, and I don't know if we have this point. But, again, man, it's two games to win one for the Braves. And that one, as much as I want the Astros to win just for everybody to say, listen, we realize they cheated a couple of years ago, but we as Astros fans and the Astros players are sitting there going, but we're still a good baseball team. I want them to win, but, boy, I really want the Braves to be in the finals too. And then it's like, if the Rays win, I'm going to be disappointed for my Astros for about 10 minutes, and then I'll sort of be on the Rays bandwagon with that $28 million payroll, you know. So I'm conflicted. The one thing I know for sure is I do not want to see the Dodgers in the World Series.
Amen to that. I would be 100% in agreement there, so for selfish reasons, because I want my team to go to the World Series, obviously. But, man, I got to tell you, I would be happy to see the Rays, just because at this day and age where we see so many professional athletes are the prima donnas, and, you know, they don't like to play hard. Everybody on this Rays team is playing for their next contract, every one of them. They are all hungry. They all haven't gotten to that top level yet. They're all playing with that fire. I would love to see those guys win the World Championship.
Well, all you have to do is go to Yankee Stadium to see a game, or, heck, go to the Rangers game, or even go to Minute Maid and watch a ball game. then pick up and go to Tampa and watch Tampa play in Tropicana, which looks like a big tent, like they're literally playing baseball in a tent. And you go, wait a minute, this team doesn't have the money other teams have. And you always pull for the underdog. It's, you know, it's the David against the Goliath. So, yeah, I do hope that they do well. And I don't, you know, when I'm talking about the Dodgers, I have a lot of friends who are big Dodgers fans. I'm not necessarily, I don't know that I'm anti any franchise except for the Lakers right now, that I'm anti their situation. I think that, you know, Mookie Betts going there, Los Angeles seems to be that area right now that they're trying to stack the team so that they can have some relevance in, you know, in our second largest market in the United States. And I hope the second biggest largest market doesn't win. That's, you know, that's pretty much the bottom line.
No doubt about that. So we've got Game 7 in that Astros series coming up today. We've got Game 6 in the Braves and Dodgers coming up this afternoon. That game's actually going to overlap with the Tarpon game. So a little bit of a conflict of interest. So if I'm a little bit shaky or rusty in the second half of that game, I may be watching two games at once. Just saying. Get full disclosure, getting that out there.
I wondered about that. But you know what? I know that Brian is going to have you slack, and he's going to pick you up. Because I got to tell you, I really enjoy listening to y'all. And Trunk needs to realize this. And Brian needs to realize this. Y'all do a good job on the radio, which keeps some people out of the stands because it's like, well, heck, I'll listen to Casey and Brian on the radio, which is not a good thing for the financial situation sometimes. But I enjoy listening, and I enjoy listening to Brian's humor on the sideline with some of the things going back and forth. And I say that. I assume Brian is on the sideline when I'm listening.
He is on the sideline, yes, and he is actually currently roaming around doing some AD duties right now, so he can't hear all the nice things you're saying. But I'll be sure to relay the message, but it may not be as quite as accurate. I don't want his head to you know, balloon out too much, you know?
Well, I did also think about you with some of the ball games starting early. Actually, early in the week, I knew you guys were going to be playing on Saturday, being the Tarpons, and I thought to myself, Casey is going to have just a tough time calling that second half because the LSU game would have begun. And then I realized two things. One, the LSU game is not going to be happening. They actually were going to push it back a little bit, if I'm not mistaken, to maybe 3 o'clock. So that may not have interfered. And two, the way LSU is playing, I don't know if you would have cared that much anyway. So, yeah.
That is called a professional segue, Mr. Gravov, as we're going to catch a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the debacle that has been LSU football and some of the things that are going wrong and some of the things that they could do better and all that and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Right after this commercial break, some LSU talk on ESPN 100.3.
Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
This is Christine Russell, Lafourche Parish District Attorney, asking for your vote in the upcoming election. The DA's office is prosecution, but it's so much more. Lafourche deserves a DA that's experienced in the courtroom, a DA that is active in the community, and a DA that's available to advise local government bodies. Our office is proven to be exactly that, an office committed to serving and protecting the citizens of Lafourche.
Early voting begins October 16th, and Election Day is November 3rd. Paid for by the Christine Russell Campaign Fund.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
When you need health-related answers quickly, you want the fastest, safest results possible. That's why Terrebonne General Medical Center is the only facility in the state to offer the new GE Revolution Frontier Gen 2 CT scanner.
This breakthrough technology presents medical professionals with the clearest images on the market while keeping patients safe and comfortable. To learn more about how TGMC is on the leading edge of healthcare, please visit TGMC.com.
Hey everyone, Gus Cattingill with the Sports Hangover. Excited to tell you about Men's Total Health. They're located at 3829 Vets, right behind the Fidelity Bank building, Suite 101B. Men's Total Health can help you be your best self. Testosterone therapy, annual physicals, and IV therapy. Look, go get tested. They have on-site labs. You can get test results while you're there. Low T can produce physical changes like reduced energy and increased body fat, reduced libido, ED, and give you emotional changes. Visit menstotalhealth.net today and see if they can help you.
And welcome back to the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. An hour and 45 minutes away to the opening kick between the Tarpons and Bell Chase, but we've got 45 minutes left of our program. Casey and Stan here. Coach Brian has been joining us, but he's roaming around the stadium doing some AD stuff, getting everything ready for homecoming. So, Stan, we promised some LSU talk, and boy, it was nasty last week, wasn't it? LSU just is not very good defensively, and I don't know how you fix it. Like, on one hand, I know people are complaining, oh, you know, Bo Pelini got to do this, he's got to do that. On the other hand, I'm watching the game with my eyes, and I'm seeing a defensive front that is being thrown into the backfield, linebackers who are being blocked because the offensive linemen are getting into the second level, and I'm saying to myself, like, I just don't know how good this personnel is right now. I get it. You've changed, you know, some things, and it's not looking good. But I've always been taught this. Defense is about winning your individual one-on-one matchups. I don't see very many guys on that LSU defense winning their one-on-one matchups right now.
It's a combination of things, right? I mean, and you hit it on the head. For everybody out there who says, oh, they lost so much, and why did you expect anything more than this? Because you probably, you know, went out and recruited to have more than this. True statement, the second quarter of that game, and you'll probably remember the play, Casey, where the kid from Missouri catches a touchdown and he is wide open. There's not an LSU player in the screen, right? So my wife says to me, oh, there's a flag on the play. And I turn to her and I say, well, why are you saying that? She said, well, obviously LSU had to have stopped on the play. And there was no flag. They just had a blown coverage, and there was nobody from LSU by them. So that's the part that is the maybe too complicated for some of these kids. The other part of it is exactly what you said. They are getting beat on one-on-one battles on defense. So, again, it's the perfect storm. I got to tell you, and I can just relate this on the high school level to maybe what's going on with LSU. You know, in 1991, I was fortunate enough to be at South Terrebonne, and we won a state championship as a coach there. It was absolutely great. What people may not remember is that in 1992 at South Terrebonne, we were 1-9. Not only were we 1-9, we were one busted play away from being 0-10 that next year. But here's the difference. Our cycle was totally depleted. We started basically all seniors that 91 year, so in 92, we were totally depleted. I thought we had the kids in the right place, but talent-wise, it just didn't work. I can't say that that's totally the case for LSU, obviously, with Missouri and a Mississippi State team that we realize now is just not very good. So that kind of throws me just a little bit. Then I got this question asked to me on another program earlier this week, and they said, have you ever been around a team as a high school coach that has gone through what LSU is going through right now? In other words, that defense has played really bad basically for 3 weeks, because you really can't count that Vanderbilt game as too much of a measuring stick. And then you just turn it on, like it all clicks, right? And I thought to myself, and I said, yeah, one time we were not good early in the year. First three games, we thought, oh my goodness. And then we turned it on. Something just happened with it. But we threw away a lot of the stuff that was a little confusing along the way, which I'm sure LSU is doing. And two, that high school team had a huge IQ, a huge football IQ. So I'll throw out a question to you. Do you think that the kids who are playing at LSU, I guess primarily on defense right now, do you worry about that football IQ, whether it's somebody who's quarterbacking that defense on the field, or if you're in a cover two situation, or you're man on one side and cover two on the other side, that they all get it? And can you just flip a switch and they will all get it? So I guess that's all of our own interpretation of it. I'd be curious to hear what you feel about that.
Here's my biggest concern. I'll be quite frank with this. The last two recruiting cycles for LSU, they've recruited national, and they've not recruited as many guys in the state of Louisiana. And I feel like right now they've got a bunch of martyrs who are there strictly to try to get into the NFL. Whereas in years past, when you have a more Louisiana core, you have guys that are playing because it means something to them personally. And I see guys right now that are lacking that same passion, that same attention to detail, and that same emotion because it doesn't mean as much to them as it does to Devin White, who grew up in Louisiana, to some of the other great players that we've seen throughout the years. So that was one of my biggest concerns whenever we were told, oh, this is going to be a name brand. They're going to recruit nationally. Well, one of the reasons why LSU is what it is because the guys at the end of the day in the fourth quarter are grabbing on a little bit tighter and they care a little bit more because this is their home state school that they've dreamed of playing for the rest of their lives, or for their whole lives, rather. Right now, when you've got that mix of guys from California and New Jersey and Pennsylvania, that same passion isn't there.
You're right. Those kids did not grow up purple and gold like we do in Louisiana. I would agree with that 100%. I would agree with that even, boy, I know a lot of people are sitting there probably right now going, well, wait a minute, Joe Burrow came in here just to play. He wasn't a purple and gold guy. He sort of became one, though, folks.
Yeah.
He's got that different kind of moxie to him. So he sort of did become one. But I think you actually have a great point. You know, when you sit in our area and you have some greats that live in our area who bleed purple and gold, you know, I mentioned that state championship team, David Butler, who loves LSU and played at LSU, and all of the guys from this area who just love it. I would agree with you that if a guy comes from Maryland or he comes from California or Georgia, he's like, I'm going there to get in the NFL. You know, winning is a byproduct. Now, I would also ask you this. Do you think what's happening right now, or specifically in the last three games for LSU, is going to in a way, shape, or form affect recruiting in the future? You know, or kids pretty much, it's not so much the wins and losses, it's what the school is about. So do we get back to that pride of purple and gold and Louisiana kids coming to LSU?
I think a couple of things, and we've also got Coach Rod on the line. We're going to get to you in just a second, Coach. I think that recruits want to play right away. And if I'm a defensive player right now, if I'm Mason Smith, I'm saying I could go there and start my first day on campus. So I don't know that it's going to hurt too bad for one cycle. Now, obviously, over the long haul, you got to get it turned around quickly. But for one cycle, I don't think it's going to hurt you too bad. But before we get to Coach Rod, I know Brian has a couple of things he wants to say about LSU as well.
Yeah, let me ask this question to you guys. If LSU would lose a couple more games, do you see some of these players opting out the rest of the season?
I would hope not. But I would hope not. You never know.
You said if they were here just to advance their careers and all, possibly, that's something that they may do.
You never know. So we'll go to the phone lines now. Coach Rod, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning. It's Saturday morning. It's cool. It's football season.
There's no doubt about that, my friend. Coach, no, Stan said he visited with you last night. Tell us about that Terrebonne and Thibodeau game. It sounded like a good ball game.
It was a defensive struggle. I mean, I don't think that were four first downs in the first half. I mean, that was lots of punts. And, you could see Lucas was fixing and shaking, but he really, I don't know if his longest run was about 10, 12 yards, scored on about a 10-yard touchdown. But the Thibodeau's defense kept him in check for most of the game. And then Alamo was running for his life, throwing it up. And so, that was a lot of punts. There's no hitting nobody in the mouth on the line of scrimmage. That's tough for me to handle. I mean, I just think when you do what they do on offense on both sides, everybody's running zone blocking. There's no double team. There's no kick out. There's no fullback leads on the linebacker. And it just makes defenses soft. That's what you practice against during spring. That's what you practice against during 2 days. So consequently, when you get against a physical team, you know, it's tough on you. So you had two teams that like to spread, turn the ball loose with some guys with skills, go make a play. And Lucas and a couple of other guys, Debo, made a few more plays.
Boy, and I hate to say this because I don't have his name in front of me. I'm going to give a number. Coach Rod and I noticed there's a kid from Thibodeau at number 53 who was a three tech. That kid came with a motor. And again, I'm going to reiterate what Gary Hill said too. Caden Lewis, again, he was number 96 for Terrebonne last night. He has a high motor too. I know we always talk about Mason Smith. So, you know, defense kind of ruled the roost last night. But again, it was fun talking to Coach Rod about why things are starting to happen in high school football and maybe why, you know, the E.D. Whites and the Vanderbilt, who did not have to take any breaks in the summer and they got after it, they did great technique and fundamental work, are probably playing the best football in the area right now.
Yeah, both of that lines, I watched both of them work, you know, when they just was in helmets and they had to spread apart and everything. And both of them were doing so a little bitty fundamental thing, and I would go back to it, and they were doing the same thing over. I'd go back the next week, and they were doing the same thing. And right now, it looks like it's paying off for both. They're winning in the line of scrimmage, both of those teams. I mean, you know, they're beating people physically, technique-wise, at the line of scrimmage, and they don't have no guys that's signing Division One. You know, maybe a couple of them going to, you know, Nichols, you know. But besides that, they just well coached and they're working their battle. I mean, look at Assumption. They had the High Hope. They had minus 10 yards rushing last night against St. Louis.
Wow.
Is that an unbelievable stat? I mean, you know, you shut somebody out. It's homecoming. You hold them to minus yards. Very little throwing the ball. It was a good night at Wildcat Stadium, I'll tell you that.
That was the next question I was going to ask you, is what is it about St. James that allows them to be so dominant continually? I think you may have just answered that question, though. It sounds like they're vicious on defense.
Well, they lost some interior people. And of course, they got the Jones kid, which you got to account for in every play. But the younger guys who got to play a lot last year, that was in the, you know, because they were ahead in games, so they were getting a quarter, maybe even more of a game experience. And now it's the third or fourth game, and they're getting better. I mean, that defensive line is just definitely wiped out. I mean, they're going to end up scoring two touchdowns at the end. I mean, one was a punt return, one they had the ball in the 10, and four besides that, they didn't muster too much offensive. They played pretty good, and when St. James drops down to their size and class, they're an elite team. Coaching staff, they've got two defensive coordinators, and they call even Dick. They're as good as anybody. There is no weakness on St. James coaching staff at any position. And Coach Valdez takes personal charge of the offensive line. He's not the offensive line coach. And those guys are in the weight room every day of the week before. Valdez will give up time on the practice field for weight room work because he knows in week 12, 13, 14, that's when you've got to keep up strength and everything. You're getting worn down during the season. So he's figured that out. In his years, he'll be in the weight room just about everything, especially with his line.
So I'm going to shift gears a little bit and kind of go back to something Casey had mentioned about LSU, just to get your thoughts on this. Because, Casey, you got me intrigued now with your hypothesis on this. So Casey was mentioning that, you know, LSU has certainly got a lot of guys from all over the country in the last few years recruiting-wise. But when I think of you and your family, I know you went out and played at McNeese, but obviously I have a lot of family members who played at LSU, and I know you were with Coach Suave, you know, coaching for a lot of years, and he was an LSU guy. Those guys have a passion for LSU. And Casey mentioned that Now, you know, LSU might become that NFL factory where those guys maybe don't have that same want to or that same winning mentality playing at LSU. You think that has any validity? Because, you know, the flip side of that is if you're a competitor, you want to win no matter where you're at.
Yeah. And I just think that if you're born and bred in Louisiana, your give a darn is a little bit higher than the guy
yes.
born in Ohio. I mean, because your family's there, your uncle's there, your cousins are there, your classmates from high school. Somebody's always bumping on you, great guy, and all that other good stuff. But the guy from California and Ohio, you know, hey, y'all played a good game. I mean, I like Jason's idea. My biggest thing is that, okay, every year for the last, how many, 6, 7 years, LSU's been ranked in recruiting 1 through 5, 1 through 6. And the three teams we have played so far, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, and Missouri, are they in the top 25 in recruiting any year?
No.
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 So they're playing with 2 and 3 stars, maybe, and LSU is playing with a few threes and a bunch of 4 and 5. So that's my big question mark. How can 2 and 3 beat 4 and 5 stars? I mean, and not just win the game. I mean, it's just soundly. I mean, you know, and it's the same coach. You
know? Yeah. I hear you, man. Well, look, Coach, we're up against a break. Thanks so much for calling, as always, and have a great rest of the weekend. And we'll keep you updated on how things go here at Galliano with the Tarpons.
I'm going to be listening.
Sounds like a winner, Coach. Thanks so much, man.
Bye-bye.
That's Coach Rod doing a great job, as always. Interesting segment. I think we got a lot covered in that last 15 minutes. Let's catch a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about some NFL. The Saints are on a bye week. There's a lot of things going on in the world of the NFL. All that and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
There's been a lot of big talk on the radio.
Lori and I always look at each other and smile when we hear all the big talk in those ads.
You've heard me say that Ramsay's gives you diamond choices that no one else can give you.
It's not that those other stores won't give you those choices.
They just can't.
We didn't become the largest diamond store in Louisiana by accident.
We became the largest because we give you better diamonds.
And better prices.
But talk is cheap.
So here's a real-world example of a better diamond at a better price.
Ramsay's will sell you a 2-carat diamond.
That's a big diamond.
For just $6,495.
$6,495, 2 carats.
You can choose between a 2-carat diamond from a diamond mine.
Or a 2-carat created diamond.
Compare them side by side, then make your choice.
They're both 2-carat diamonds. And they're both $64.95.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
Etel Business. Your business, our priority. Business is fast, so you need to stay ahead with internet, phone, and Wi-Fi that's even faster. For a limited time, when you purchase 2 business services, you get 3 months free. That means your business is backed by Etel's reliable network, powered by local experts. Save now on the speed you need to run your business and get 3 months free with 2 or more services. Call 798-7952 or visit etelbusiness.com. Etel Business. Your business, our priority.
This is Brent Abity, and I need your vote. I am an honors graduate of Tulane Law School, was a deputy sheriff for 11 years, and a volunteer firefighter for 10 years. I was an emergency medical technician, roasted on hot rig floors and baked in hot attics fixing air conditioners. I am like most of you hardworking regular people in Lafourche Parish. I'm not perfect, but as a Catholic, I pray for forgiveness. Today, I am asking for your vote for me for district attorney on November 3rd, paid for by Brent for DA.
Saunders and Chabe are attorneys at law have dedicated their practice to assisting serious accident victims with the highest quality and personal legal representation possible. You may have heard of Saunders and Chabe through word of mouth, but Saunders and Chabe specializes in serious motor vehicle accidents, offshore, river accidents, and injuries occurring on the job. They fight hard for their clients. Visit SaundersChabe.com or call Scotty Boy Chabe at 888-815-1974 for a free consultation. Saunders and Chabe, fighting hard for you all across Louisiana.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life?
Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
Got another 20, 25 minutes or so. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3. We're going to actually have a homecoming king and queen recipient here at South Lafourche in just a minute. We'll probably actually get that before we get off of the air, is that they're going through the court right now. We'll talk some NFL in this segment. Gentlemen, the Saints gutted one out on Monday. Didn't necessarily play well, but gutted one out, and those are the most important games in the NFL to win, are the ones where you don't play well and still find a way to get it done. 3-2 going into the bye week. Coach, first, your thoughts. I know you're a big Saints guy. What do you think about New Orleans so far, five games in?
Pooty.
You don't like the way they're playing?
No, their defense. Look, the Chargers at the end, why not just not take the ball, throw it downfield four times?
At least one will be pass interference.
Or a holding or something. But I'm glad they didn't do it, and glad the Saints put out the victory. But, look, their defense needs to improve. I've been saying this for a few weeks now. Their defensive backs coach, something needs to give. I mean, it's embarrassing where when they throw the ball down the field, it's either going to be a pass interference, holding call, or they're going to just watch them complete the pass. They definitely have to tighten up that defense if they're going to make any type of run.
Stan, your thoughts.
I agree with Brian wholeheartedly. It's kind of a facade to be 3-2. You know, the good news is you're 3-2 and you're going into an off week. The bad news is you're 3-2 and you're not playing really good football. And I would venture to say it's on both sides of the ball. Defense and offense doesn't look very good. For us in Louisiana, in a pity party, we certainly should feel sorry for ourselves for defense, because between our professional team, the Saints, our collegiate teams, and I'm going to throw one at Brian. Here's a little dart at Brian. Besides LSU, who doesn't play defense, the part of Green Wave, you know. But they almost came up with a win against the top 25 team last night.
Even UL.
Yeah, even UL, who actually was playing well for a while, they don't play defense either. So nobody plays defense. I don't know what the Saints are going to have to do. I hope that this off week does a whole lot for them, because Carolina is not bad, and we thought Carolina wasn't going to be that good, and that's who they got next week. So, and I agree, something's wrong with that defensive backfield, man. Those guys look at each other. Did you see Patrick Robertson's look when he blew that coverage? It was kind of like, man, you know, like, what's going on? Nobody plays defense, and I don't see us finishing off this year like we thought the Saints were going to before this all started.
So let me ask you guys this. I hear a lot of the talk about the offense, and some people are saying, well, you know, Michael Thomas is out. Is it as simple as, hey, they'll just get Michael Thomas back and start playing much better, or are they just limited? Because, I think he's going to certainly help. He won't hurt. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know, just something feels missing. I don't know if it's as easy as just saying, hey, they can't stretch the field so the defensive backs could creep up and take everything better away. I don't know what the answer is, but it just feels like, you know, in years past, like you talked about this, Coach, the last time you and I spoke privately, 3rd and 7 was an automatic for New Orleans. Now it's not anymore. It just, offense feels a little bit harder for them than it has in years past.
Yeah, I think it's their inability to stretch the field. For whatever reason, I mean, how many long balls they had so far? Maybe one or two. Besides, don't count Taysom Hill throwing the ball. I'm talking with Breeze in a regular set. They're really not trying to stretch the field much, and they did once and hit the tight end for a touchdown. But I think that has something to do with their just for whatever reason. I don't know if he can do it or he's just choosing not to do it. But I think you're going to have to stretch that field eventually.
Stan, how much of an impact do you think Thomas is going to make?
Boy, there's something up with Thomas. And listen, and I'm sure Brian can attest to his locker room for basketball. It doesn't matter the sport or what level you're playing on. if you're sitting there and you got a guy in your locker room that is just, you don't want to be in the locker room because of that guy, or it's just a real bad vibe in the locker room, that's not good for your team. And obviously something's up there. And I'll go back to stretching the field. In the privacy of some of our coaching meetings on the high school level, we said we're going to come out and we're going to throw a fly route. We're going to go right down the field and we're going to let it fly, and we probably won't complete it. And we're going to do it again in the second quarter. We're going to do it. And it opens up, right, because you're going a little bit more vertical and less horizontal. The Saints don't even try that. I mean, they don't throw it down there at all. Vice versa, we get the pass interference call, meaning the Saints get the pass interference call on those deep balls. Heck, if Drew Brees can't throw it that deep anymore, which I don't know if that's the case or not, but if he can't, it's all right. We might get a pass interference call down there or something. Stretch the field some kind of way, and I would hope that that would happen going forward. You got to be able to run the ball. I thought that the offensive line was going to be a little bit stronger. So to think that it's all Mike Thomas not being around, I'm not sure I believe that.
So on the spot, we've played now 5 weeks. Who's the best team in the NFC South? You got Tampa, New Orleans, and Carolina all tied 3-2. Keep in mind, Tampa, you know, still piecing together some first-year personnel. Carolina still playing without Christian McCaffrey. Gentlemen, who do you think is the best team in the division?
Well, I'll go Tampa.
You think Tampa?
I still think Tampa. It's not, I can't go with the Saints, but
I think Tampa just has the best defense. You know, they're pretty good on that side of the ball. Stan, what say you?
I agree with that, and I think that when Tampa figures it out and gets it all together, that's when it's really going to be dangerous, because there's still a little bit of inconsistency. But, yeah, I think Tampa. Boy, why the Falcons are what they are, I still can't figure out to this day. Remind me if we do a pick 'em segment with the Falcons ever again, Casey. If I say Falcons, you say, no, Stan, that's not what you want.
No doubt about that. Well, I mean, I'm competing with you, so I'm not going to help you out in that way, but it doesn't sound like a terrible idea. Gentlemen, breaking news from the world of college football, Nick Saban will be coaching today for Alabama after his third negative COVID test, so he is now deemed to be a false positive. So Coach Saban on the sidelines today as Alabama will be taking on Georgia. Before our next break, quickly, your thoughts on this Alabama-Georgia game. Our resident Crimson Tide fan, Coach, is Alabama going to right the ship defensively and beat a very good Georgia team today?
It's going to be a tough game. Alabama's defense is not nearly where it needs to be. I think their offense is one of the best offenses. Not as good as LSU's last year. I think LSU's offense last year will never be matched again in college football, but Alabama has a very tough running game. They can stretch the ball and get it downfield. Their defense is really suspect, and I think Lane Kiffin proved that last weekend. So I think it's going to be a very physical game, but I'm looking for Alabama to pull it out in the end.
Stan, what are your thoughts?
I think it's a toss-up. I truly do. I think that listen, if somebody, you know, held me to the fire, and we may do that in the pick'em segment, I'll probably go with Alabama. But, boy, that's a tough one. That Harris kid at running back for Alabama is really good. I think the quarterback's really good for Alabama, too. But that's really a tough one. And I'm going to say this. I just believe Ole Miss's offense is really good, too, now. So, you know, that's part of the problem for Alabama's defense last week.
College football scoreboard in the top 25. We have several games that kicked off at 11 o'clock. Clemson leads Georgia Tech 17-7. Miami leads Pittsburgh 7-0. In the SEC, Auburn 9, South Carolina 0. And Kentucky leads Tennessee 7-0. Those are your top 25 scores. Fellas, LSU, I know we talked a little bit about them in the last segment. Off the bye week, there were talks of Miles Brennan potentially maybe being out with a rib injury. Now it looks like he'll be healed up. But, you know, we've got a lot of COVID going on around all the NFL, college. Florida has a bunch of guys out. Like, are you guys starting to get worried that, like, we may not see some of the big games that we were hoping to see?
I think they're going to make it work some type of way. And, listen, you just mentioned it. Nick Saban's back. I don't think a lot of them are the false negatives or the false positives. But I don't know. They can give that test so much and so many days in a row. If they did this on the high school level, I don't know how much high school football we'd be playing, to be quite honest with you. So I think they're going to get it done. I really do think we'll move forward. But in the year of the asterisk, it'll be interesting, and they're going to have to maybe allow for a little bit more time when the season was traditionally supposed to wrap up.
Well, the thing is, this early in the season, we already having games that are rescheduled. Eventually, you can run into a time where there's no more room to reschedule these games. So, I'm really concerned about finishing the season, because when this cooler weather starts and, you know, people are more, staying home and stuff, I think this virus can spread even more than what it is now.
So we'll see. Casey, we'll be keeping an eye on it. What's that, Sam?
Can I ask Brian one quick question, and this relates to high school sports? Brian had to sit and actually do the contact tracing related to, like, high school football kids who might have COVID and who came into contact. When it comes to basketball, is that going to be done, one, the same way? And, man, you know, five guys on the court are always going to be in contact with each other. So does he foresee some instances where high school basketball is going to be affected the same way that we see in high school football?
Well, right now there's no one way of doing it in football. It seems like it's not consistent. That's the problem we're dealing with, where if we get, you know, a positive test, whatever, we do contract tracing, and we send it in to one health organization in the state, and someone in another part of the state can send it in, and there's two different outcomes.
Opinion, yeah.
Yes, they quarantining some for 14 days. Some of them will quarantine the entire team, you know, for a certain amount of days. So that's the frustrating part right now. It's just, there's no consistency. And when it comes to basketball, look, you're going to be in close contact with people for the entire game. So hopefully it doesn't come to that. But that's a scary point if, you know, you're thinking about it, that what's going to end up happening.
No doubt. So let's go ahead and catch a quick break. When we get back, it's everybody's favorite segment of the show. We're going to make some picks. We've got some top 25 action. We've got some NFL action. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
Hello, this is State Senator Gary Smith from District 19. I want to let you know that I am very concerned about the impact COVID-19 is having on each and every one of us. To stay cautious and practice social distancing, wash hands often, remember to not touch your face, and watch out for your older family members and neighbors. I have been working very hard along with our other elected officials and the governor, and we are taking this very seriously. Please listen for daily news. As everyone does their part, we will prevail. Thank you.
In our current COVID-19 climate, it's time to think differently about employee health, and Terrebonne General Medical Center's Workplace Readiness Team is here to help. With over 65 years of trusted leading-edge experience, we are here to provide the resources you need to keep your workforce healthy and prepared with COVID-19 testing, employee health risk screenings, cleaning protocols, a nurse hotline, and much more. A healthy workforce is a productive workforce. Schedule your workplace readiness assessment by calling 850-6214 or visit tgmc.com.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning-fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3. Our favorite segment, we're going to make our picks. We've got Texas A&M and Mississippi State. Mississippi State does not look very good since beating LSU. They're at home taking on Texas A&M. They are a 4.5-point underdog against the Aggies. Stan, what say you?
Texas A&M, I think they'll cover. I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I think Texas A&M will win it.
Brian, do you want to join in?
Oh, sure. A&M.
All right, the Swami.
A&M.
Truck is saying Texas A&M. I'm going to go Texas A&M. I don't trust Mississippi State. Costello's not looked very good. Give me Texas A&M. North Carolina, y'all, is the number five team in the country. I don't know how many people realize that North Carolina is ranked that high. They're going to be taking on Florida State on the road. North Carolina is a two-touchdown favorite, Stan. What do you think about that one?
North Carolina, although I'm a little leery because Mac Brown has never, ever, ever in his history beaten Florida State, because I didn't realize that was his alma mater, but it is. But they're just, look, Florida State's got too far to go, so North Carolina.
Coach Colley?
Oh, yeah, North Carolina.
Truck? Carolina. Truck is going North Carolina as well. Truck is trying to plug himself in a microphone. We'll get his live commentary in a minute. I'm also going North Carolina in that game as well. In the SEC, we have got a matchup between Ole Miss and Arkansas. I got to tell you guys, Arkansas is not as bad as they were made out to be. They play hard, but they are a one-point underdog at home against Ole Miss, Stan.
Ole Miss, it's fun to watch that offense. I think Arkansas might score 100 points, but Ole Miss is going to score 101.
Coach?
Arkansas is much improved, but Ole Miss.
Truck's going Ole Miss in that game. I am going to go against the grain. I think this is going to be a letdown for Ole Miss after the hard-fought game. Give me Arkansas at home against Ole Miss. I think it's going to be a good,
Shocker.
Hard-fought, competitive game. At the college level, the game of the day is going to be Georgia and Alabama. Alabama is at home. They're a five-point favorite. 7 o'clock tonight on CBS. The Dogs and the Tide, Stan.
I said it in the last segment. I'll go Alabama. I'm real shaky on it, but I'm going to stick with Alabama in a close one.
Coach, do you dare go against your Crimson Tide?
Not today. Alabama pulls it out at the end in a close one.
As an LCO Bulldog, I'm going down with the Dogs.
Ooh.
The Dogs are going to do it convincingly.
Okay, I'm going to go Alabama in this one. I think that this is going to be a very hard-fought and physical game. I just like Alabama's quarterback a little bit more. He doesn't get very much credit. He's a very good football player. Give me Alabama in this one. Let's see if we have anything else worth picking in the college level. A lot of postponements I'm seeing here. So we're going to shift gears to the NFL now. Fellas, we've got in Monday night matchup right out of the gate. My Cowboys, without Dak Prescott, are going to be hosting the Cardinals. Stan, can Andy Dalton lead my team to the promised land and get a victory over the Cardinals?
Good God. Boy, I'm horrible at the NFL, too. You know what? I think they can, because I really believe that Ezekiel Elliott is going to just take off now.
Abigail Adams.
Yeah, we have a homecoming queen that's been announced, Abigail Adams. Coach, Cardinals and Cowboys.
Well, Bean, I gave you a present the other day, a cowboy.
You sure did.
Face mask. I'm going with the Cowboys.
My man.
I think the Cowboys pull this one out.
Okay.
Birds.
This truck is going Cardinals. Oh, man, the Cowboys' defense is so bad, and the Cardinals are very good offensively. I don't know. I just think that Andy Dalton's going to slow the game down enough. I think the Cowboys are going to find a way to get it done. How about this game? Also on Monday, because of COVID postponements and cancellations, we've got the Chiefs and the Bills. This game will be in Buffalo. The defending champions are a five-point road favorite.
The Chiefs, they're going to figure out a way to win, or they're going to blow them out. But I just think the Chiefs are too good for just about everybody in the NFL right now.
Coach?
Yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs on this one.
Swami?
The Bills. Come on, cool. Fellas.
Truck is going Ooh. Buffalo Bills in the upset. I'm going to go Chiefs in this one as well. I just don't think they're going to lose two in a row. NFL, how about this one? The Packers traveling to Tampa Bay to take on the Bucks. Green Bay's 4-0, and they've looked awfully good. Stan, can they go on the road and beat Tom Brady and the boys?
They certainly can. Will they? I'm not sure. Devontae Adams, I think, is going to be back for Green Bay also. Wow, that, you know, this is the obviously the toughest one to pick so far, probably. You know what? Heck, they're coming off of a bye week. I'm going to go Packers.
Okay.
Look, Tampa Bay, one of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game, has great receivers. Green Bay.
If Tampa Bay wouldn't have lost the way that they lost the last game, with Tom Brady forgetting the downs and all that good stuff, I would have said Green Bay, but I think Brady's going to be fuming. I think Tampa's going to get it done.
Old man time always wins, but in this case, Green Bay is going to win.
Okay, sounds Molly like a winner.
One together.
There we go. The Ineptitude Bowl, we've got the Falcons and the Vikings. The Falcons are 0-5. The Vikings are 1-4. Both of these teams were supposed to be pretty good. Dalvin Cook out for Minnesota. Stan, will they find a way to get the win?
Oh, sure. They play in the Falcons.
Coach?
Let's see. Minnesota is bad. But yeah, Atlanta is terrible. So you have to go with Minnesota.
Well, they couldn't sell or give away tickets to the stadium. Nobody wanted to attend. Falcons all the way. Noodle arm.
Noodle arm for the win. Oh, man. I don't trust Cousins as far as I could throw them. I give me Atlanta. I'm going to go with the Boston.
Wow.
This one. Give me Atlanta. I think they're going to win on the road.
You're a winner.
Let's see what we got
I'm
here.
I'll tell you guys. I believe
that
the Falcons.
Some tough ones.
The Falcons could possibly be the best team in NFC South. It's just there.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of them. So, anyway.
Yeah, no, I understand. The Browns and the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Remember in week one, Stan, I said, look out for the Steelers. They're a sleeper to win the Super Bowl. They're 4-0. They're hosting a very good Cleveland team, though.
Ooh, this is another one, interesting one, because the Browns are really starting to come around. I think that this is a deal where it's Roethlisberger versus Mayfield, and I'm just going to go with Roethlisberger.
Good deal, Coach.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Stan on that, and I'll go with the Steelers.
The Cleveland Browns are for real. We're back.
it's hard to deny that, man. They run the ball so well. I'm going to go Cleveland as well. I think that they're going to get it done. This is an interesting matchup. The Bears are 4-1, very quietly 4-1, traveling to Carolina to take on a Panthers team that's very quietly 3-2. Stan, what do you think about this one?
I think Carolina's got something going on there, and I think the kid who took McCaffrey's place, I think it's Davis, is probably doing just as well for the Panthers. I think the Panthers are going to beat the Bears. Of course, I told you guys this. I didn't think the Bears were for real, and I just don't think they're for real quite yet.
Coach?
I'm going to go with Caroline on this one, but I'll be pulling for the Bears.
You know, Stan's been complaining he's first out the gate. Well, I haven't heard a word. I can't hear what Stan is saying, but I know
this
he's
is
on
true.
The bench. But I tell you what, Bridgewater's going to bridge the gap.
Okay, I'm going to go Carolina as well. Gentlemen, we got about 30 seconds. Tarpons or Cardinals today? Stan, what say you?
Tarpons.
Coach?
Oh, Tarpons roll today.
Homecoming victory.
I agree. It's a sweep. We all think the Tarpons are going to pull it out. You can hear that game at 1 o'clock. We're going to go ahead, grab a quick bite to eat. Then we'll be back at 12:30 with the pregame show here from Galliano. Thanks to Stan. Thanks to Buddy for pushing the buttons and Coach Collie for joining us as well. We'll be back in 30 minutes with the pregame show. This has been the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Whatever happened to the boy next door? Suntan crew cut all American.
Hi, this is Trip Lee with AC Ambulance.